Dan Roderick is here. We're going to continue on, even though, you know, we're 20 minutes into this.
Yeah.
I don't have any rules here, like your stage play. Yeah. So a year and a half ago, you say, I want to do a play. I want to do a play.
It's the next thing for me to do. You know, I've done a column. I've done a radio show.
TV show.
Books, a couple of books. And I thought, hey, this is what I've always wanted to do.
Well, you bring in your malaprops, which has always been part of your thing, into it as well. Brought this comedy at the end that, like, when I stopped crying through all of it, I started crying and laughing at the end.
Yeah. And it's authentic. See, I think that's another thing about the stories that people like.
True.
These are all true stories. I'm not making stuff up. Right, I'm not making stuff up. So the malaprops were all collected. I collected them over the years. People would write to me and say, "Yeah, my aunt said this. It's not the heat; it's the humility." Hey, Baltimore, it ain't the heat; it's the humility. Or what was another one? A woman went to Franklin Square Hospital. I have her Eucharist removed. You know, stuff like that.
I hate when that happens. Sounds religious. Religious
stuff like that. So I collect those, and they're always good for a laugh.
Well, my wife is a fly-in, right? She met me at a hockey game in Manchester, New Hampshire. Everybody in her family has your accent, not mine. She came down here, was not a newspaper reader during that period of time, knows of you and my relationship of you, knew you were on the radio, thinks of you as one of my newspaper friends.
Yeah.
And I don't say I dragged her in any way because she was doing her hair and we were literally just going shopping. We were getting new shoes for me and she was getting bird feet for the bird seed thing. She was getting her hair done.
Okay.
She's getting her hair done, Optimonium. And literally she was walking out the door and I said to her, Rogers just gave us two tickets for this thing. Do you want to go? Because that's when I went downstairs and I said, hold on. I went back and yes. And she's like, yeah. She knows of Dan only in one way. Dan was a man who met her at a McDonald's in Williamsport, Maryland, next to Luke, Maryland, next to a paper mill in the middle of the crab cake tour a year and a half ago.
Right.
And you took us down the road, and she doesn't know you as a guy I've idolized, read, TV, celebrity, all that. She just knows, like, Dan's son, Nick, was supposed to teach us how to fly fish, right?
Yeah.
And you were my celebrity, person on day 23 of my crab cake tour last year.
Yeah.
And you took her out in the water with waders on that you gave us and played in the woods.
And that's hard to wade water.
So you should ask her if you had credibility on stage because you're just the guy she fished with once. That's how she thinks
of
you.
So how did she like the play?
For her, Baltimore is this thing that she flew into. Right. And she knows she's 20 years. She's been in all of this. Maybe I think it was more emotional in some ways for her because every story was new. She'd never heard all the malaprops. I've been reading them for 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So every part of it for her was completely new in the same way. And that's why I compared it to Springsteen. I read the book. When I saw the stage show, I'm like, 80% of these stories I read from the book.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Yeah.
She didn't read the books. It was all new to her.
Right.
Both times it was new to her. The audience was, and I went to the first show, I turned around, people were sobbing. It was insane, man. Like,
are you talking about Bruce or me now?
I'm talking about you. You, Roderick.
Yeah.
And I think there's an emotional chord that you hit that you clearly, when you were writing this, there were reasons you told these stories in the ways that you told them.
Nestor, I mean, this was complete, what's the word? Not a long shot. That's not a good description of it, but I had no idea, pardon the pun now, how this was going to go over. I really didn't know how people would react to this. Will Schwartz had more confidence in it than I did.
Did you have any test audience at all, like, other than Will? I mean, did you do a Thursday night thing for 28 friends and family, or no?
No, I didn't even do it. We did table reads with the cast, and I welcomed their comments. And I got one important comment that was very helpful. But I trusted Will Schwartz, so you gotta.
I wish you were here today.
Yeah,
I gotta
get
real. You're coming on the Zoom soon.
He's busy. He's still working. You know, he's like the rest. He's got another.
He got a gig.
Yeah, but I actually trust his judgment, and then we just went with it. I trust my own instinct too. But I really didn't know how people were going to react to this. So,
all right. So yeah. let me go to current time. Dan Rogers here for the Baltimore Sun. The show is Baltimore. You have no idea. What do you want to tell people about the next time it's coming out, other than following you on Twitter and whatnot?
We will announce it soon. Some dates, I hope, for this. I think we'll use the same theater.
I was going to ask you to be at the Meyerhoff. Yeah.
I mean, I like that theater, and I like being associated with that institution, the Baltimore Museum of Art, and bringing people to
it. It was a beautiful night. We know we did that night, so
you can get dinner there, you know.
4:35, I got tickets. We're out the door in Towson. My wife had a 5 o'clock haircut. I went and bought shoes, bought some other things, came back, grabbed her at 6:05. She's BSing. I'm like, we got to go. We got to go. So we went. We ordered Ekeben. This is a perfect Baltimore night.
Oh, yeah.
We ordered Ekeben tempura broccoli.
Ooh, all that's right? The best.
Hold on.
That's the best,
isn't it?
It's
the best thing on earth. Literally.
It really is good.
So you have to eat it in the box in the car. It's romantic. So we pulled into an alley on the backside of Hampden. I got broccoli in a box with my wife. And I said, 34th Street, 6 blocks away, let's go.
Right.
We drove to 34th Street. We parked right in front of Rocket to Venus. And we sat romantically with the windows cracked, listening to Led Zeppelin, eating broccoli tempura. We got out. We took a selfie with the thousands and the mobs.
The Christmas lights.
Christmas lights. We jumped back in the car.
Yeah.
And then we parked right at the BMA, and we ran through the whole, like, grass area there to get to you. And it was a Baltimore night.
You ran through a grassy area?
Yeah, it was a Hopkins. We went through the campus. We were on the backside. We parked on the Hopkins campus.
Okay, yeah.
So we went through this whole, like, beautiful area, and then we're at the theater that I didn't even know where the theater was. I know where Gertrude's is. Yeah. I didn't know there was a theater there,
a lot
brother.
Of people don't know that there's a theater in there.
Beautiful atrium. It's beautiful.
Beautiful theater, yeah, yeah.
So I had a Baltimore night. I had a Hampden.
You did.
I came down to the city, and I had a fun time seeing a show.
Right. And I hope we do it again. I think we're going to do it in the same venue. And maybe do a deal with Gertrude's next time. We didn't have time to arrange everything. I need a handler, really.
Oh, I know that.
You know, where you go to dinner at Gertrude's and then see the show or something like that.
Make a night of it.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to ask you about the Baltimore. You have no idea I had no idea what I was buying that night when I came in.
Right.
And the interesting part for you is all the death, destruction, decay, crime, blah, 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 down the line, all the bad things about Baltimore,
which are in the play. It's not
every bit of it.
It's not a love letter to Baltimore. Well, it is a love letter to Baltimore, but it's a love letter about the way Baltimore is, about the reality of the city, you know.
But out of this, you try to find some hope, right? You try to
absolutely.
I mean, we're all trying to find that.
Else
right? We're positive.
Else we just give up and leave, you know. We'd all leave. You can't. You know, it's our city. And I feel very strongly that you recognize the problems, but don't. That's not all there is to it. It's a very interesting life.
How are you feeling about solutions on this? I mean, I'm thinking you're going to live another 20, 30 years. I think I am as well, right?
Wow.
If we get together in 5, 10, 15 years, Westmore coming in, changes being made, things happening.
Yeah.
Rebecca Hofberger hit me this morning. She'll come on next week. I was going to try to have her down today. She couldn't make it. I was going to have her fill in for Will. But the new Inner Harbor and where the things are... Give me some hope.
We got
new Lexington Market 20 feet away.
There's
brother.
So much potential. The new arena. The arena is being redone. I mean, it's called a new arena. Essentially, it sounds like it's going to be a new
Bruce
arena.
Bruce is coming,
and Bruce is coming to inaugurate it. Right. I mean, there's a lot going on. If you drive around the city and take a good look at it, and we're dragged down by this crime. But you know what? The whole country is suffering from violent crime. Baltimore, we've had a problem here for several years now, but this has been the trend throughout the country. It's not just Baltimore. It's a violent country we live in.
Correct.
With way too many guns for the number of people we have. So, you know, how do the police get a hold of that? We rely on the police to do that. The mayor has a more holistic approach to it, and people say, well, there isn't time for that. You have to go out and arrest people like we did in the 2000s, and
you addressed that in your play very well.
And it ruined a lot of people's lives. It made it harder for people to get back on track here, or to get on track at all. So, I don't know, Nestor. I mean, I feel this way. Sometimes I get tired of writing about the problems, and I think, well, just focus on the positive and make people feel better about the city. But you can't do that either. I can't do that. I'm a journalist.
I call my show Baltimore Positive. You just said the word positive. Well, and it's not all positive. It's not.
You don't just discuss the positive aspects of the city here.
In this space you're in right now that's important to me, and I want to give love to Fadley's and Damien. We're at Fadley's down in the old Lexington Market, which is all that's left of the old Lexington Market.
Right.
And they're going to be shipping crab cakes in here. They're going to have boxes stacked to the roof. I mean, literally here in 2 weeks, shipping out crab cakes all over the country, all over the world. And so, you know, I see local businesses and I'm in it, but I've sat here with Martin O'Malley. I've sat here with Brandon Scott. I've sat here with Jack Young. I've sat here with Sheila Dixon. Mm-hmm. I've sat here. I'm just trying to think of the people that have been in this space.
Yeah.
Believe me, it has not all been PR and happy talk.
No. I don't think that at all. I don't think that at all.
But it can't be.
Yeah. But you've got a title there for your show that brings people in to say, okay, I'm going to hear some good things about Baltimore if I listen to this show, right?
Perfect.
I don't knock you having that title at all, but you don't. I don't think you're Pollyannish about anything here.
I don't think you can be if you
not in this city.
Look, I worked with you in 1986, 87. I saw Simon coming into the newsroom late at night, and you batting at columns, and Dick Irwin coming over and you know, pulling his notebook out and telling me about stories. The one thing I'll say about your show that was so great, it had the whole like sort of Barney Miller vibe to the newsroom and the old VDT portal that you had. I turned to my wife. I'm like, I think that's the real thing. I think that's really one of
them. It is. You know where I found that?
Second chance.
So I want. No, they don't have those old computers there. So I wanted as a prop. I wanted a old VDT from like the 90s or even the 80s, where they were even, you know, a real big one.
The one I worked on.
Yeah, we all did. We had coyotes, they were called. Remember?
I haven't heard that.
They were called coyotes, and they were set up in the Baltimore Sun newsroom on a lazy
green
Susan.
Type, little green.
Oh, that was the...
My eyes went bad with that.
Those were the Harris terminals. That was before coyote.
Well, all I remember is that
Coyote was green, too.
In the newsroom, there was a room over on the side by Jack Lemmon's office. You remember this, on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
And it was where all the computer stuff was. There was a fellow there from Ghana. His name was Coffee. You remember Coffee?
Coffee.
So all I remember is when they had like three modules and one would go down and they'd come out and say, two's down. It was a Harris module. That's all I remember.
Yeah, we had Harris's and then these coyotes. Anyway, so I wanted one of those old VDT terminals on my desk because that's for years that's what was there. So it was hard to find one.
Where'd you get it?
Out of bulk trash in my neighborhood a few weeks before we did the show.
You're kidding.
Somebody put it out with a bulk trash and one of the large, you know, pavilion.
That's serendipity, Rodericks.
Yeah, it is. So I said, things are going well.
Meant
here.
To be.
Plus, I need to throw a prop out to Christopher Winslow and Gary Flowers, who agreed to do the scenery for the set for very little money. At first, I didn't know whether we were going to sell out. I didn't know. I said, I don't know how much revenue we're going to generate with this play, so I kind of talked them into it. But
have they gone union yet and profit sharing?
Or not yet. but Christopher Winslow in particular, he got really carried away. I think he put about 200 hours into the painting the set. And Gary constructs sets for real professional theater, you know. So I was lucky to get them. And with the sellout, we were able to pay them a little better than started.
That's really good.
Right. And all that scenery is now in storage, and we can use it again.
So. All right, so you're going to do a few more shows, you think, in March, April, somewhere there?
I think it's a week?
You think it's three more, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing, or no?
Maybe four shows. And then and then again, I think this has a nice holiday element to
it. Beautiful, yeah.
So maybe in December do another short run and get people in the, you know, use it to get people in the mood for the holidays in December.
Well, makes perfect holiday gift. Dan Rodericks is here. We're at Fadley's. Sometimes I feel like I'm just hanging with my man Dan. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I got some Raven scratch offs to give away. Dan's going to get one. Goodwill, and of course our friends at Window Nation. We're at Fadley's. We will be celebrating my 31st year in Baltimore radio.
Wow.
Tuesday's my 31st anniversary. December 13th, 1991.
Good
I went on the air with Kenny Albert at WITH AM 1230 Big Band Radio.
That's where you started.
Alan Field,
on
Ken Jackson. WITH AM 1230.
Wow.
5 to 7.
Where was that? Where did you go?
It was in 5 Light Street up on the 8th floor.
Wow.
It was above the McDonald's, right? Five light in Baltimore, right? At the corner.
Right.
And then we moved to the Lord Baltimore Hotel, and we became WLG 1360. Michael Hodes bought it, moved it out to the Hodes Allman Pessin Studios in the Sheraton North, and then I bought WNST in 98.
I've been on the air 24
and a half years ago.
Wow.
So it'd be my 25th year of owning NST next August. So how about that? So 31 years, and Thursday we're going to be at Costas in Dundalk. It's going to be a hootenanny. The Hammerjacks folks are coming. I was a part of the Hammerjacks documentary.
It's going to be a hootenanny.
It's going to be a hootenanny. And Gina Schock, the only rock and roll Hall of Famer from Dundalk, drummer from the Go-Go's, will be joining us.
Gina Schock.
She's a legend.
Wow.
She's back in town all month.
Wow. Are the Go-Go's still around?
The Go-Go's are very much around. They got the beat. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, you thought they were on vacation.
I lost track of them. So
Eddie Lauer's going to be strumming with Gina Schock down at the Hard Rock as well. But we're going to be at Costas next Thursday. John Allen from Charm City Devils and Stone Horse is going to be joining me, one of my best pals, to celebrate 31 years. We'll have some crab cakes and some fun. We're talking shipping for all of our crab cake places. All right, so a little hope for Baltimore. Be bullish on Baltimore. Like, sit next to me on a plane, we're flying O'Hare, and I say to you, you're from Baltimore. You're a reporter in Baltimore. That place, Jane Miller has said to me, she will cut them down. If you start ripping Baltimore, she'll stop you and cut you down.
Thing I don't understand about that, because I saw a tweet that Jane put out on this subject of people in the suburbs who seem to take glee in the city's problems. I don't understand that, because when you say you're out of town, you might be from Lutherville or Dundalk.
But you're from Baltimore, too.
Yeah, that's what you say when you meet a New England Patriots fan up in the... They still play in Gillette, right?
They still play in Foxborough.
You say you're from Baltimore. You don't say you're from Dundalk. You don't say you're from Timonium. So I don't understand this attitude. That's really got to stop. And what I wish would happen more, we have some very progressive county executives, Johnny O, Calvin Ball, Stuart Pittman. I'm getting ready to write a column about those three guys. They ought to buy into the city, too. I think they do. I think Johnny does.
Oh, I think they do in their heart. I've sat with them and looked in their eyes.
There's a way to articulate that to the public, though. There's a way to get that across to the public more that I think would be very helpful. Also, people say, you know, they think that sports is trivial or something. It's not. If the Orioles do better, if the Ravens do better, you hear people talk about Baltimore more, who live out in the suburbs and otherwise are ambivalent about the city or think it's a hellhole. Some people do. That you get more buy-in from people when they feel like safe, that they can come downtown. This reputation the city has for not being safe because of the homicides is really hurts the city. People are under the impression that if you come to Baltimore, you're going to get shot, you know. And unfortunately, it does happen. There are shootings in the city, but, you know, you go to pretty safe places when you come downtown.
I've lived here my whole life. I lived downtown 19 years. Shake my hand.
Knock on wood. Yeah. I've had my car stolen twice, but years ago.
I had my car broken into three times right in front of 501 North Carolina.
It happens. Right? It's life, right? But, you know, how many people came to the Paul McCartney concert?
Billy Joel, whatever, right.
Was it Billy Joel?
Jay-Z, doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Yeah. Football game.
Yeah.
Garth Brooks, whatever it is. Yeah. People will come downtown.
Yeah, and that, you know, that arena that's being redone, renovated, they draw big crowds there over there. You know, people say, nobody goes there. That's not true, you know. Reba McEntire, 14,000 people, you know.
This spring when it opens, and I'm going to have the CFG Bank Arena folks on. I've gotten to know those folks and what they've done in Belmont, what they've done in Austin, what they've done in other places.
Yeah.
They're betting on Baltimore.
Yeah, right.
There's still a lot of people. All those cranes down in Port Covington, they're betting on Baltimore. The
Kevin
hospitals
Durant, right?
that are here, mm-hmm. they're betting on Baltimore, you know? And you and I still live here.
Yeah,
we're still betting on Baltimore, you know?
And my kids, I feel both my son, Nick, and my daughter, Julia, have bought homes in the city, live in the city, work in the city.
I saw Nick in a cameo role.
Yeah, Nick had a cameo role. Well, yeah, he nailed his lines, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Did perfect. Dan Rodericks is our guest in an extended conversation with Fadley's doing a crab cake tour.
Coffee is good.
Coffee's delicious coffee's here at Fadley's. You know, must be Rofo in the cup
I think it's
there.
From next door, right? Yeah.
Well, I get Newmarket. You some Rofo. You got to do fresh. I'm Royal Farms
I'm sorry. Okay. Farms. Yeah. Well, I like Rofo.
He likes Western Fries. Trust me, he does.
I have a Rofo card.
I had Max Weiss on this program down in Western Fries, and I won't have it.
Yeah.
I will not have you talk bad about Western Fries on this program.
I like Western
Fries. So here's a question for you about your show and about, you know, I say I idolize you, but I would say I idolized Governor Schaefer in some way. At the end of his life, he would sit with me. You had a rough and tumble relationship with the governor and the mayor.
Who didn't?
Well, that's interesting, right? Like you saying that, he should have been a character. Like if you're going to do this in 2.0,
he was a dream character. Oh, do you want me to put him in my play? You mean Schaefer?
A person that comes in who plays the role with a duck, and who you talk to as a reporter.
Yeah,
he's gone now, right? So, what would he make of? You know, like there are things you could write him in.
He could
because
be
when you're saying to me, you're getting these county executives together, you want them all to talk good about Baltimore. Nobody loved Baltimore more than him in that way.
Right.
That you're looking for a little Schaeferization of Stewart and Johnny O and these people to have that.
And Brandon Scott.
And obviously, right? Yeah. And everyone.
Yeah.
But what you want them to have is whether it was real, make-believe, whether he pissed you off or didn't like what you wrote or whatever. But whatever that spirit. Because if I ran for mayor and I did, you and I had a day together down at the flea market talking about this. That's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
That enthusiasm is mandatory for whatever you're
goodness.
Running. For whatever you're. Oh, look at this! Crab cakes for breakfast. Crab cakes for lunch. We must be at Fadley's.
Oh my God!
Look at this! Look
at that! That's a thing of beauty.
This.
Oh my God!
Happy holidays, Dan.
That is a work of art.
Happy holidays.
Oh my goodness!
What would Governor Schaefer think of this? This was his crab cake place, right?
He'd say, "Eat it now! Eat it now! Not tomorrow."
Damien
eat it now.
Would tell you that Governor Schaefer sort of put the. And I don't say on the map. I don't want to be disrespectful to your family. Family, but elevated what you did outside of Lexington Market.
Well, he loved it here.
He loved it here. So while I'm talking about him, if you were sperm of the moment, let's talk sperm of the moment, okay? That's a good one for you. That's Archie Bunker, though. That's Lear wrote that one, I think. You ever had a fried oyster here?
Oh,
it's about to change your life. So Governor Schaefer, if you wrote him in, or Mayor Schaefer wrote him in, if I put you out in a cabin and get you Jack Torrancing on a 9-minute vignette where Governor Schaefer comes in from the crowd onto the stage and says, Rodericks, that would be. I'm just giving you an idea.
Well, I could think of a actually true life story about Schaefer that I could include in the play.
Go ahead, tell me.
So in 1987, 88, the legislature was debating whether to build the stadiums, whether to build.
Now the Orioles are gone, right? The Ravens are the Colts are gone in 84.
The Colts are gone,
and the Schaefer, Orioles don't have Camden Yards, so we're in that middle.
Schaefer was elected governor in 86. He took office in 87. By 88, the legislature is talking about bond issues for two stadiums, right?
Well,
Camden Yards and for the football.
Kent Cook was trying to build in Laurel.
Yeah,
that happened in that.
That
period?
Happened in that period too.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, so there was a citizens group that put out a petition drive saying. This is not up to the legislature. This should be a referendum question for the voters of Maryland, whether to float these bond issues for $500 million to build stadia, right? And Schaefer didn't like that. He just wanted this thing to be approved by the legislature.
Well, he knew he wouldn't get a vote anywhere east or west of, west of Ellicott City
possible.
Or east of where the water is,
it's
right?
Possible.
Literally, right? Okay.
So there was a ruling by a judge in Anne Arundel County that said that, yes, this could be put out to referendum, and this petition drive is certified, something like that. It was a ruling by Judge Teamy in Anne Arundel County. This was like late August, early September, approaching Labor Day. Judge Teamy puts out a ruling saying this petition drive can go forward to challenge the stadia, and we were having tremendous thunderstorms for like 3 days in a row. So I wrote a column for Labor Day that said, Was that a ruling by Judge Teamy or his request not to be elevated to the Court of Appeals? And were those thunderclaps I heard last night or Mount Schaefer erupting, right? And that was the column. It was all about how I sort of agreed that why not put it out to voters? It was Labor Day.
Well, you had now, Don DeNoldo okay, him for a decade wait. At this point, right?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
fair enough. All right.
So it's Labor Day. I'm not at the Baltimore Sun. I have the day off. There's hardly anybody at the Sun on Labor Day, just a short staff. We had answering machines in those days, not voice messages.
Sure.
Answering machines. Next day, I come to work. I push the button for voice messages. Mr. Rodericks, this is Sergeant Knuckles in the lobby at the Baltimore Sun. There's a, what's your name, sir? Governor Schaefer here to see you. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. He came looking for me. He broke away from his...
He thought you'd just
police.
Be hanging there on Labor Day.
Yeah, yeah. He was very upset with me with his column, and I was just having some fun with the guy, you know.
He had no sense of humor.
His skin was thinner than, yeah.
Why?
Oh, he just...
Just the way he
that's
was.
That's the way he was. He was a dream character, really.
I to please everybody.
I thought he...
Well...
Yeah.
He did. Dan, you got to eat this.
I know.
Dan Rodericks is here. He's gone. Like, Baltimore, you have no idea. Dave Edlund's going to be my next guest. Danny
wow.
Hahn's here.
David so, Edlund. Wow.
Well, let me say this. I ran into Mr. Edlund in the lobby leaving your production.
We had some
and I said,
alumni there.
I'm going to try to get Dan next week to Fadley's. Do you want to come if he can't make it? And next thing I know, I have Dan and I had Will. Then I lost Will. Then I got Dave. So all that's going on. And Mr. Edlund, we have breaking news. Mr. Roderick says they're going to be reprising this fine, fine stage production yet again at the BMA at some point into the spring.
I hope so in the spring. Well, You'll be hearing about it.
All right. I'm going to go eat some oysters
thank
while
you,
they're
Nestor.
Warm.
Thanks for having me on today.
I love this guy, yeah, Dan Rodericks. Happy holidays.
Much.
We got crab cakes
thank
here.
You.
Look at this. We're at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Got some Raven scratch-offs given away. Not open yet, but we're going to be opening the doors down here. And certainly the door is always open to ship some crab cakes here. Damien will be talking about that. Our friends at Goodwill remind you, holiday shopping, holiday giving, it's important. And they're opening the XL Center next year as well as our friends at Window Nation. I left my floppy hat in Costas 2 months ago. I don't have my Window Nation floppy. Be had, but our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation. Buy two, get two free, 0% finish. I got new windows August 8th in the middle of the crab cake tour.
Yeah.
I can't brag about windows, and they are my spot. Like, my place is warmer.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah.
It's just my other windows were 39 years old. It was time. 866-90 Nation.
Can I say something about Goodwill?
You can say anything
so
you
the,
want about
the
Goodwill.
The deal in my family this year is that we're not giving anybody a new present.
Okay.
We're doing recycling. You have to find something cool at Goodwill or Second Chance or someplace
perfect.
Like that for as a gift. That's the rule in my family. We're recycling. So I have to go find something for my son and my daughter. My wife in a secondhand store, but I'll find something.
So this is interesting for your play. You said to me, we're friends, right? And I'm like, yeah, we've been friends a long time. How did it go on stage, whatever? And I'm like, we've been friends a long time. We've fished. We've had lots of coffees together. We've talked deep conversation. I knew nothing about your family till I saw the show in that way. I knew your father's name. I knew your mother's name because you refer to her and your peppers and onion, like all of that stuff, right? So I know you a little bit, but I didn't know fire and the Christmas thing and the Christmas train story.
Yeah,
you blew me up on the Christmas train story because, Dan, I've been on the radio
way too much now.
31 years. People come up to me and give me gifts. Like, they give me beautiful things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's... You tore me up.
There's a lot of good people in Baltimore.
You tore me up.
A lot of good people here.
There are a lot of good people here, including the folks at Fadley's. David Edlund's going to be here and still editing everything I do, making sure that my punctuation is tight and my usage is proper. I love Dan. He'll be doing the show. You can follow him anywhere. And, of course, at the Baltimore Sun. And we're at Fadley's. We're back for more. It's Baltimore... This was so freaking Baltimore positive. For more right after this, stay with us.